Mr. and Ms. Stringer, I'd like to ask you a few things about the Great Depression of 1929, if you can remember some of those things. Can you remember what you were doing in 1929?
Well, I was farming and putting out ties for this railroad right here, the Southern Pacific Railroad.
Just right out here?
Yeah, putting out ties for it.
How much were you making there?
You get 6 cents a piece for them, and I had to pay a dime a stick for the timber, left me 50 cents.
About how much could you make a week?
Well, I could make 10 of them a day and put them out over here at Old Wakefield. I had a good broad tar wagon and a good pair of mules, and it was 4.5 miles from where I live up to the railroad switch there. I'd put out 10 a day, nearly every day. Well, lots of weeks I'd get enough out to get $30, 10 a day for every day in a week, and make $30 in a week. And now that was back when money was scarce. You couldn't get no money hardly for anything you done. It's just tough, I mean, tell you. And lots of people, you know, lots of people just give up. They just thought, well, the depression's on, and this is rationing, and this is down, and they just sat down and just, a lot of people went hungry.
Is that right?
Yes, sir. There's lots of people that absolutely went hungry.
You knew some people that really didn't have too much, enough to eat.
That's right. They just didn't have much to eat as they wanted to. And lots of them, you know, would get without grease, you know, or flour, or coffee. They wouldn't have no stamps to buy. And I bought up me some stuff when Brooks Brothers told me what to do. And I learned what to do just before the Depression hit. They knew it.
They could tell that something
They knew the Depression was coming on and everything was going to be rationed. And the Brooks boys told me at Cargan to buy you up some stuff, son. I said, what'll they do if they catch me with it? I said, ain't nothing they'd do. I said, buy you up all the flour you want and everything you want, coffee and sugar, anything you want. I just bought up me a lot of stuff and hauled it home.
In relation to some of the other people that you knew, how would you compare yourself in the amount of money that you made?
I did really just as good during the Depression as I ever done in my life. Absolutely. Yeah, I had some hogs. I had hogs and cows. I had a good saddle horse, a good pair of mules.
Did you have a family to support?
Or? Yeah, I had a family, a wife and three children, three stepchildren.
Uh-huh. What can you remember about President Hoover? So did you like him, or how did you feel about him?
Well, he's good as any of them, I guess.
Was he?
Yeah, he is an average.
I know
he's like all the rest of the presidents, you know, and sort of along in the windup, you know, they all get a good kicking around, you know.
Yeah.
They're kicked and kicked on every Newton corner. I guess President Hoover did too.
You think he got kicked around more than some of the others?
I imagine he did. On account of the panic.
A lot of the people blame him for
what happened. Well, he couldn't have it all. He accused of all of it, but he couldn't have it.
You don't think it was all his fault?
No. A president don't have all the say-so no how, you know.
You're right.
They just, to a certain degree, and when the Congress wants to outdo them, they generally do it anyhow, you know. They just outdo them.
Did you ever hear of any people eating what they called Hoover hogs?
Armadillo? Oh, yeah.
Did you ever eat one?
No, I never did. I never did have to eat armadillo.
You were doing pretty good, didn't you?
I didn't ever have to eat armadillo.
Can you recall anything like this?
Called them Hoover hogs.
Not in 1929. I was top small then.
What
there's
about your parents? Did you ever eat?
My parents.
Anything about problems that some of your folks might have had, some of your relatives might have had, or anything at all? Or, you know, any kind of problems, you know, with their food or anything like this?
Well,
did everybody have enough to eat?
All I can remember was that we was working on a farm, and it was kind of hard for us kids to work out there in the hot sun, you know, and beaming down. We thought, well, it was just horrible to work in the hot sun.
Yeah.
And I remember the time that we was, my sister and I was out tending corn while my daddy was playing, and sweat was just rolling off the daddy and the old horse too, and I thought, well, maybe I can get in the we can cool off.
Then you stop.
And daddy had to go over to another place of a field. And I said to my sister, I said, I don't think I can stand it. I'm going to the other place. She said, well, we just got to. I said, yeah, I know it. And I got about halfway, and that's all I know. When I woke up, I was on the other end of the road, laying on the ground, throwing water on me.
Is that right? It must have been awfully hot.
It sure was. I had a sunstroke.
What did you start to say a while ago
about them Hoover hogs?
Yes, sir.
There was a family lived in front of us, and they had about 9, 10 children. Well, there's two sets of children. L. Richard. L. Richard lives in Louisiana, and they got a boy works up here at the family. Called him Red Richard. And they had about a 16-year-old girl. Big old spring out down in front of my house. And that girl is named Faye. And Faye and all the kids just thought the world and all of me and my wife. And a lot of times they would kind of get up against it, you know, for things. So many of them in the family. And we'd help them. And I growed lots of sweet potatoes and had milk and butter and eggs. Jumped the dogs with, and I'd help them little old kids. And one day, that grown girl was down at the spring, and I heard her holler, come here, Mr. Stringer, come here, Mr. Stringer. And I run out the front yard, and I said, what do you want, Faye? She said, bring your gun and come quick. And I had a good 22 automatic rifle, and I went down there. I thought she'd found an old moccasin there in the marines below the spring. And this big old armadillo sitting down there. Says, get him. I said, well, you stink your place. I said, will you carry him on down here and throw him in the creek? Hey, I says, I'm going to carry him to the house. I'm going to dress him. I says, we're going to eat him. And I shot that old armadillo right on top of the head. She got down and got him the tail and drug him out. She said, I'm going to bring you a piece of him. Want to get him fried? And she just sat down right flat on the ground and took him out. And just went around that armadillo's hull and just hurled him out there. Hurled him out, that hull. She knew how to do it.
And she dressed him, did she?
Dressed that armadillo. That evening, right late, I looked and seen her coming with a plate, running full speed, and brought me a piece of that armadillo up there. I says, Faye, I can't cut it. And she says, eat it. She says, just like eating fried chicken. Oh, says, and it looked just as nice, you know. And I took a bite of it and chewed on it a little bit, and cold chills on all over me. And I had to spit it out. I couldn't eat it. I called grave robber.
Grave robbers.
That old church up above me there, over there, over here at Old Damascus. You may know where an Old Damascus church is. Huh, you know where it is?
I've heard of it out that way.
Well, the cemetery and church is right up above where I used to live. And them armadillos, them old rock graves, they're old long time ago graves. They built up out of rock. Whip, you know, this wide hurdle. And they undermined, they go in them old rock graves and go plumbing to the bottom of them and just dend in down in on there in amongst them graves. And I got to call them grave robbers. And I never could eat one on that again.
Can you remember ever working with some of these government programs like the PWA or the WPA or any of those? Or
I tried to get on the PWA and they wouldn't let me. That was paying $3.
A day?
A day, and I just thought that was it. There was a building bridges right over here in Polk County in Piney Creek Bottom. And And I knew the man that was boss, was Carter Cade from Old Camden Sawmill. And I knew him good. And me and my wife started town, and there there was seven or eight of them there. What is that?
I don't know.
I tried to get on with them and started the town, me and my wife, and found them all ganged up at the end of the bridge, 10 or 12 of them. And I said, Carter, what's going on here? Oh, he said, boy, this is a PWA job. Well, what about going to work? I said, I'd like it. I need a job. I said, what are the pay? He said, $3. I said, boy, I need that money if I can get it. And he said, but he said, you're going to have to go to Livingston and get your card and have it filled out before we can go to work. I said, gosh. Well, I went on to Cargan, and I went down to Livingston and seen that fella down there and got that card. And he asked me a few questions about what I owned and what I had and how many chickens I had and one thing and another. He says, I'll be at your house in the morning about 10 o'clock. He said, you stay there till I come and I'll check up on what you got and see if you can go to work. Well, next morning about 10, he rolled up at the gate. He got out. He walks around out there. He says, whose wagon's that? I said, that's mine. He says, whose mules are in the lot? I said, they're mine. He says, whose horse is that out there in that cow lot? I said, that's mine too. How many chickens you got? I said, oh, 75 or 100. How many cows you got? I told him how many cows I had. I had about 15 head, 20 head of cows there in the woods. Had an open range. He went on, asked him a question. Well, he says, I can't put you to work, but I can't give you no job. I said, I don't see why you can't. You give others a job, didn't you? I says, the foreman out there told me that all I had to do was see you. Well, he says, that's it. He says, you've done seen me. He says, I can't give you no job. You've got too much to go with. He said, you've got to live without working out there. I said, well, I guess that's it then. I said, why, you're working man that's got three times as much, as three times much as I got. I said, why are you doing that? I said, there ain't no such a thing. I said, I know you are. I said, I'd name five or six. You work, got out there on the job working. Owns twice, three times much as I do. Got more cows, more hogs, own more land than I do and everything else. I said, you just wrong, I said. Well, he said, I done told you I can't put you to work out in the car no more. And I couldn't go to work.
Well, I guess it was just because you had too much.
That's when I went to making time. Yeah, I went to making time. Putting them out for Southern Pacific Railroad.
We were talking about Hoover a minute ago. Did you vote for Hoover the first time in 1928?
I'm honest, I just don't remember whether I did or not. I don't remember.
What about the second time around? Did you vote for him then, or did you vote for Roosevelt?
Roosevelt. I voted for Roosevelt.
You mind telling me why you voted for him instead of Hoover?
Well, because one thing, I didn't like the way the war went, everything, and I just didn't vote for him. I didn't vote for him.
Okay. What did you think about Roosevelt when he came into power? I mean, when he became president, did you think that he was going
to... I just really thought he'd be a good one.
Did you?
Yes, I did. I thought he'd be a good one. I stuck up for him all along, much so as I am this one I got now, Nixon.
You think that, looking back on Roosevelt now, do you think that he was a good president, or...?
I truly believe that he was a good president. He done all he could. Sometimes, regardless of what a president does, you know, he's going to get kicked. He's going to get kicked.
You're right.
He'll get kicked as sure as a ball. They're kicking this one around now.
Oh, yeah. Miss Raymond, can you remember anything about how you folks might have voted in 1928 or hear them talk about it? Did they ever talk about who they might have voted for or how they felt about Hoover or Roosevelt or anything?
No, I don't remember.
Did anybody in your family work for any of those those programs that I was talking about, the PWA or the...
My father worked on the PWA.
Yeah. Do you remember what he did?
He worked on the road.
Building roads? Can you...
My first husband worked on the PWA before we married.
Can you recall how much they made when they were doing that?
Not too much.
You know, you hear lots of stories of people making 50 cents a day, $1 a day, and all these.
Oh, yeah.
That was pretty common wages.
Now, I had a brother that worked on the PWA, and his wife, right here in Diboll, would take buckets and walk in these streets and pick up old cans and old junk stuff and pile it up.
Just picking it up and cleaned up old buckets
and old cans and one thing and another, you know, to make a dollar.
Did the government ever pay you to kill any of your cows or anything like
this? They undertaken to kill two of my cows and I bucked.
You wouldn't let them do it?
No, I bucked.
What did you tell them when you came out?
I told them I wasn't going to kill them cows.
Did they come out and say that they were going to do it?
They pinned up right over there. I can go show you some of the bones today, about 35 head. And a great big old gent with a Stetson hat on, this cowboy boots set up on the corner post of the fence in the corner, you know, where the fence, and he sat up here and looked over here with his heels hung in the corners of a 30-06 rifle and shot about 30 head down. And he said, "Stringer, you had two to be pinned." I said, "Well, they're not pinned." Well, he said, "I'll send the range rider out to get them." And I went over there determined that he wasn't going to kill my two cows.
Why did they just pick out two of yours? Do you know?
Just wanted to kill them.
Did they have a certain quota that they had to fill? Or?
I don't know what they did or not. But anyway, he told the range rider, says, "Go to the woods and pen Stringer's cows and cut them two out. Put them in this lot, I'm going to kill them." And the range rider had a big black horse tied outside the fence. My wife was out in my pickup, and I had my Winchester out there in the pickup. And he says, "Go pen Stringer's cow." And I went out there with the range rider. I said, "Range rider, don't you go to them woods after my cow. You're just liable to go over there and not come back. I mean, you let them cows alone, them cows over there in the woods." I said, "I hear the bell over there, about 25 minutes." I said, "Don't go over there and them cows." Well, he says, "I'm going to take you at your word and let them home." I says, "I don't have to. I may lose my job, but I ain't going over there from what you've said. You just let them cows alone."
Well, they would have paid you for them, wouldn't they have paid you for them?
$12 a piece. And I didn't want them.
Were they worth more than that, or you just didn't want to see them killed?
Both of them would suckle just right away if they wanted to keep. So he went back out there and told that fellow. He says, "Stringer, we're going to, if we don't kill them today, we're going to kill them." Went on that ship, never bothered me.
And never did hear anything
else
about it?
Never hear nothing about
it. How much were cows worth then? Can you remember that?
Well, it run 12, 15, 20, 25. Good.
Just depending on what kind of grade they were.
$30, $35.
What do they do with the cows whenever they kill them? They just leave them laying?
They laying right there in that dipping vat.
In the dipping vat?
Yeah. In the dipping vat lot, just left them laying right there. No colored woman lived over there across the creek from where I live, between there and Cargan. He had a big fat cow that belonged to a fellow that used to live right over there by me, Lester Sherridge. And that old colored woman says, "I want that fat cow." Says, "That's a big fat cow, about 10, 11 years old, and a big fat, just as fat as she could be. Says, "I want that cow. I want that cow." Says, "I'm going to skin her and eat her." He says, "Don't you lay the weight in your hands on
her." He wouldn't let them get
her? No. Left the guard there the way late that playing would.
You said that there were lots of people that were worse off than you were. Do you know of any instances of people starving? Or?
Oh, no, they didn't in particular starve, but you know that a lot of people just give up because they, couldn't get nothing for their work. They just give up, just like to starve.
Just came close to it.
Family lived in front of me that just got without everything. Everything did. And a bunch of little old children. And I'd always grow about 2 acres of sweet potato. And I had plenty of milk, you know, and butter. I had plenty of cows and milk and butter. And them little old kids would come up there every day. And my wife would feed them all sweet potatoes and whole milk.
Well, that was good.
Yes, feeding them little old children. It was really tough on a lot of people.
Can you remember anything, Miss Stringer, that we might have that you might have wanted to say about the depression or
no,
some story?
I can't.
Okay.
It was real tough. I'll tell you, on lots of people, lots of them just give up. Just look like they just said, "Well, we can't get ain't no work to do. There ain't nothing to do." And they just suffered. A lot of people did.
What do you think would have happened if Roosevelt hadn't been elected? Do you think it would have been kept on gotten, you know,
yeah,
getting worse?
Yeah, I mean, just said, well, it got worse.
I think he was the one that really...
Things began to pick up just a little bit then.
You could actually see things.
And then from then till now, everything just gradually went up, groceries, everything.
Back during that time, was there very much news of Hitler over in Germany and any talk about what was happening in over in Japan or anything like this during this time, or were people too much concerned with what was going on here at home?
They're pretty well concerned of what's going on here. Yeah. That's right.
Didn't pay too much attention to what?
No, didn't care. Well, they didn't. Too many people have a way, you know, to listen. You know,
not very many radios.
Not too many.
Did you get a chance to listen to the radios and read the papers and all this? Or?
Yeah, I did.
Did you? What'd you do for fun in these depression days when everybody was having such a hard time? It seems like that people would have to get out and go and have a good time every once in a while. What'd you do to have a good time?
Well, most of the spare time that I had, I'd be on the river fishing and squirrel hunting.
That was it, huh?
Fishing and squirrel hunting.
Well, that's not so bad.
I enjoyed that.
What would your family do? They'd
go with me. They'd go with me to Reynolds. Yeah.
Would you stay there all day?
All day and all night.
All night too?
Yeah. Where I'd stay all night.
Would you have a boat or just sit out trot
line? I had a boat. Put out trot line and fish.
Well, I guess
and there were lots of fish in the river then.
More than they are now?
Oh, yeah. There's filth in this river down here. Ruined all the fish down here. So much filth emptied into it out of the. I don't know whether southern pines put in there or not. Something going in there. You can go down there and put out a trot line, and then in the morning it'll be a hanging in old sludge. Put a crawfish on your hook and go back down next morning, it'd be that big old sludge hanging on. Old filth. That water just black and just raw. The emptying into it coming in and out of Cedar Creek up here.
What did most everybody else do? Was going to town a big thing then?
Yeah.
When you lived out in the country?
Six miles.
But I guess going to town was still a big thing though, wasn't it?
Yeah. I lived right straight across there. It ain't over 12 miles to where I lived. Over there in Port, right across. I'd point right towards my house over where I lived. Lived over that 30 years.
When you was a little girl, Was it a big exciting thing to go to town, or did you live near real close to a town?
Well, the closest town was about 3 miles, and it was a small town. And we didn't very seldom we did go there. But it was more fun when we were picking cotton, get a bale of cotton, take it to the gym with our daddy.
You would you just dump it all in the wagon and let the gin pick it up, or?
Mm-hmm.
Ride on the cotton wagon.
It was so funny. Yeah, we was way up high, you know, off the ground. Boy, we looked down on
top of the cotton.
Mm-hmm. It was so fun to look down and see the ground.
I guess you could buy a stick candy too for a penny, or?
Yeah, for when the gin all took the cotton, you know, but he stopped at the store and bought some. And he had Jerry buy some material for Mom to make her some clothes to go to school. And that was fun to do that.
You got to pick out your own material, now.
And our shoes too, we get to pick our shoes out.
How many brothers and sisters did you have then?
Well, it was only two of us going to school, and I had two at home. I had three sisters.
But you all had a good time whenever it came time to go to town.
Uh-huh, we sure did. Yeah. And Daddy'd take the corn to the mill, you know. It was fun when we go with him.
Back during World War I, my daddy worked this land right here where this building.
Is that right?
All down.
Well, now, how far was this from town? It was just, about a half a mile to town?
Yeah, just like it is.
Yeah.
Up to Dymo.
Well, what was in town at that time? I mean, what made up the
there
town?
What made it up? Wasn't a thing in the world if there ever saw me on a plane of mill.
What about the commissary and all this? Was it
they
there?
They had a commissary.
And that was it, huh?
That's where the old big office is.
Oh, the commissary was sitting right there?
Yeah, right there. That's where the old commissary was.
How would they pay the people that worked in the mill? Do you know? Did they have these tokens?
Yeah, they used pay. Way back, they used pasteboard checks.
I see.
Yeah, pasteboard.
And they would pay them in them?
Yeah.
And then on a month up,
all of them you could cash them in.
Uh-huh.
Way back, it wouldn't cash them in, but every 3 months. Finally, they.
You had to spend them up here in this little store, though.
Yeah, had to spend them right there. Spend them where's that?
Well, yeah, they had everything you needed up there, didn't
Let's
they?
See, who was elected governor of the state when he killed them checks on them? You know, and way back they would pay off, but every 3 months.
Back.
Some sawmills wouldn't pay off, but every 6 months.
When was this? Back in the 30s?
Yeah. Governor.
It wasn't Miss Ferguson, was it?
Yeah.
Was it Miss Ferguson?
Who had it before she
got it? I can't recall. It's right offhand. It was the one just before Miss Ferguson.
Yeah, that's it.
I see.
He put the sawmill spin off and cash him.
They had to pay cash?
Yes, sir. He stopped it somewhere or another. Using them old baseball jacks.
What were you doing when you heard about World War II breaking out?
World War II?
Yes, sir.
I was living right over here in Polk County. Running the woods feeding for some company.
When you first heard about it, what were you doing? Did you hear about it on the radio?
Radio. I had radio. I had my radio.
You had the radio on?
I had my old batch of radio.
Yeah. Do you remember what was playing on the radio?
No.
Or exactly what you were doing?
I don't remember what it was playing, but I heard it on the radio.
what did you think when you first came?
I said, well, it's rough again. It's only getting rough again.
You weren't worried about having to go this time, though, were you?
Well, they wrote me a letter and asked me would I re-enlist. And I answered it back and told them I had a wife and three children. And they wanted me because I was an expert rifleman. I was just perfect with a rifle or a machine gun. And they wanted me back, you know, to help train the soldiers.
I see.
You know, to handle a rifle and shoot a rifle. And,
I see.
And another thing, learn them how to, learn them guerrilla warfare. You know, in the jungle.
To fight in the jungle?
In the jungle. That's what they wanted me to do. And they turned me down when I told them I would not want to go on that account on a wife and three children.
Right. Then, well, when the war broke out, things began to pick up, didn't they?
Oh, yeah.
People started to go into work.
Began to pick up.
people would go to work.
And then after World War II, you know, it just kept up. Everything just kept going up, going up until it's just about once limited.
Tell me some things about rationing and having and how the people at home pitched
when
in.
When they rationed everything?
Yes, sir, and how they pitched in, you know, behind the war, you know, saving old tires and tinfoil and all this.
Oh, yeah. We done that.
Did you?
I'd pick up every piece of iron I'd get my hands on.
What would you do with it then?
The tinfoil, keep and set it. Out that car again.
Siegel
bought a junk car and out there. Yeah. I might near bought me a brand new pickup, selling junk car.
Is that right?
Yeah. Brand new Ford pickup.
How much would they pay you for it?
About 45, 50 cents a hundred.
100 pounds?
Yeah.
That's a lot of junk iron, then.
Get a lot of iron, you see, for 35 and 50 cents.
And they would use that and melt it down.
The ship would get sold to the Jap.
Oh, this was before the war, then.
Yeah, sold to the Jap. Uh-huh. The Jap shot it back at them.